This is a podcast from BFM 89.9, the business station.
9:18 in the morning, you're listening to The Morning Run with Shazana Shaoning and Philip. Let's get a quick update on the Bursa at this time of day.
Still up by 0.4%. Currently, Bursa, the FBM KLCI is currently 1,418 points.
All right. Now, all eyes were on the Federal Reserve last Wednesday when it announced another 75 bips hike in the Fed fund rate, raising it to 3.25%, the third consecutive hike in a row. However, what alarmed markets more was the language that Fed Chair Jerome Powell used, which indicated that crushing inflation was a priority.
With that, global equity markets went into freefall as markets questioned how and when will inflation be brought under control. Unsurprisingly, markets in Asia also came under selling pressure, with only the Jakarta Composite Index and the Singapore Straits Times remaining in positive territory on a year-to-date basis.
So how should one position for market volatility, and what's the best investment strategy to adopt at this juncture? For some answers, we turn to Patrick Chang, Chief Investment Officer, Equities ASEAN and Malaysia at Principal Asset Management. Good morning, Patrick. Thanks very much for joining us. We're now entering the fourth quarter of 2022, and it seems like the financial market is struggling to find its footing, with many concerns such as the outlook of growth, central bank policy, and inflation. What are your thoughts on the equity market over the past couple of months?
I think it has been a very, very challenging environment, to say the least. I think markets volatility will continue. And I, like you rightly said, you know, the market's really trying to price in the recession in the developed markets quite early, and also obviously pricing in the Fed rate hike, which has been in terms of expectations, very, very high in terms of rate hikes, right? So we are talking about at least 4% to 4.25% by the year end from almost zero beginning of the year. So that is a very, very significant rate hike expectations over the last quarter, if not for the year to date itself.
Meanwhile, the Fed is going to maintain its very hawkish stance. So what's your view on equities, and do you foresee further volatility ahead then?
Yeah, obviously, we are in an environment where I think volatility is here to stay. I think that's always been our view from day one, beginning of the year. And I think the message from the Fed recently over the last 1 month hasn't helped at all, right? So to begin with, the market was expecting a softening in the CPI number. We saw the headline numbers softening, but obviously the core inflation numbers was still fairly elevated, about plus 0.6%. Now, your question would be that, you know, why does this really matter? Well, because the Fed is obsessed about fighting inflation, and because the trajectory of the rate hike is more pronounced than people expect, then obviously markets have to basically reprice this in, right? Mm. And so until we get the message from the Federal Reserve that they will turn less hawkish, I think volatility is here to stay, you know, and we can't change that for now. But obviously, the fundamentals is what really matters going forward, and that's what we are focused on.
Let's talk a little bit about inflation and your perspective of it. Knowing that the US August inflation has come in at 8.3%, and this is lower than the previously reported number of 8.5%, why does the market take this so negatively? Is this something that we missed out?
Yeah, I think the markets basically was expecting that, you know, given the fact that energy prices came down, so that would generally bring some of the headline numbers lower, which we saw. But the fact of the matter is, you know, wages in the US continue to be very, very high, right? Rentals, interestingly enough, it remains very, very sticky as well. So these are very big components of what we call the core inflation numbers. So I think these are the numbers that worry the market. And I think, you know, effectively, until the economy starts to slow down a little bit, then, you know, I think the Fed will then say, you know, okay, we will probably pause for a while and relook at it again. But for now, it looks like if you look at the Treasury 10-year yields, you look at the forward-looking rate expectations, obviously they are very, very heightened. And that's basically spooking the markets.
We know a lot has been going on in the Asian market, and the sentiment has so far been muted. Does the recovery story remain intact in Asia, especially China?
Yeah, China itself, I do think we do expect some recovery in the second half. But I think the market is really not focused on recovery. The market is really pricing on expectations of first and foremost, in the next couple of weeks, the transition in terms of the party congress in China. Secondly, I think they are also focused on the fact that, you know, whether or not in 2023, whether or not there's going to be some form of fiscal or monetary stimulus to stimulate the economy and see a rebound. Our view is that I think the growth trajectory of the Chinese economy continues to be fairly healthy. The real risk here is the transition and whether or not the kind of expectations for fiscal or monetary stimulus continues. I think, and also lastly, you know, there is a lot of expectations of the removal of zero COVID policy. We saw that already being announced in Hong Kong. That's a very, very good sign. But I'm also hopeful that if we need to see some recovery, you know, the economies need to reopen again. And that zero COVID policy is really important for that kind of expectations for growth in 2023.
Okay, Patrick, let's bring the conversation back home because we reported strong quarter GDP numbers with an increase in business activities and retail sales. But there's also a lot of speculation about the upcoming GE. So I know you can't comment specifically on politics, but do you think this uncertain environment is likely to challenge the current economic momentum we are enjoying at the moment?
Well, I think at the very least, right, most investors, I think they have a fatigue in terms of infections, right? So I certainly am, you know, and I just want to move on, right? But if I were to think about basically the lay people out there, I think, you know, in terms of expectations for retail sales and business confidence as well, I think generally speaking, you know, we do expect some form of more muted retail sales as well as business confidence going into the elections. So with that itself, that could be the kind of headwinds in terms of growth going forward. Mm-hmm. But having said that, I think third quarter baked in, I think the numbers, exports and all that kind of stuff should be very positive. Going forward is what we're looking out for in the fourth quarter, beyond that. And as long as we continue to prolong the elections, I think people will get more and more cautious.
Now, just a moment ago, you mentioned that the fundamentals in the long term are what we should be concentrating on. So what are the positives that we should not ignore?
Well, the fact of the matter is, if our view on Asia and China is correct, and that is being that in 2023, we expect about at least 9 to 10% in terms of earnings growth, then I think the fundamentals is what you need to see, right? So I think that's key. Secondly, I think nearer to home itself, Malaysia is a very, very healthy place, right? Consumer confidence, business confidence, even though it's a little bit more muted, I think our export engine continues to be very, very strong, right? And that's also because it's also being helped by a weaker ringgit. So I think net-net, you know, we do see a more robust growth, a very resilient growth in Asia, particularly in ASEAN. And also, you know, I've talked about a lot of times, right? ASEAN is the home for a lot of foreign direct investments, right? Supply chains is still never better than ever before. So I think all in all, you know, we are quite positive on Asia over the longer term.
So Patrick, how should we adjust our investment strategies in the near term? I mean, in previous conversations, you advise investors to maintain a dynamic asset allocation with a tilt towards defensive assets that benefit from high interest rates and the also high inflation environment. Does that view still remain intact?
Yes, I think largely, you know, the view has not changed. I think diversification is key. I don't think you want to put all your eggs in one basket. Neither do you want to time the market all the time. And I think, you know, this market can change very, very dramatically as and when less bad news becomes good news. So I think all in all, what we're trying to say here is that, you know, you obviously you've got to be risk aware. You've got to be basically having a portfolio which is diversified. But all of this is all most investors already know anyway, right? But ultimately, at the end of the day, you also want to set aside some cash just in case markets pull back even more and just wait for opportunities out there, which I think they are prevalent at the moment.
Thanks very much for your time. That was Patrick Chang, Chief Investment Officer, Equities ASEAN and Malaysia of Principal Asset Management. This market outlook is brought to you by Principal Asset Management.
You have been listening to a podcast from BFM 89.9, the business station. For more stories of the same kind, download the BFM app.